This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a brand new guest. I'm super, super excited to have him on here. Not only is he a fellow money manager like myself back in my 20s and 30s, but he's got a company that I believe is completely undervalued. Their equity is at $14.6 million, and their market cap is only at $5.88 million. We're talking about Chanticleer Holdings. Their ticker symbol is HOTR. And with us today is the president of the company, Mike Pruitt. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Everett. Look forward to it.
You know, give my listeners a little bit of background of yourself and a little bit of background of your company, and then I want to get into the Q&A.
Well, as you mentioned, I was a money manager myself. I ran, for all intents and purposes, a multifamily office representing a couple of very wealthy families that I was in a management role. Their business, helped them sell their business, and it turned out that they said, why don't you look for other investments for us? And, you know, my background is I'm a Buffett guy. I'm a diehard Warren Buffett fan. I've owned one share of Berkshire Hathaway now for over 20 years. And, you know, so we created with two young analysts and a former head of the finance school at Coastal Carolina, which is where we got the name Chanticleer from, we created a microcap value fund. And Chanticleer Holdings was really, when it went public as a BDC with the intention of being a investment firm, not necessarily an operating firm. But as fate would have it, we made an investment at the time in the Hooters restaurant chain at what we thought was a very attractive, you know, entry point. But there was more to it, as the founder, who I sat on the board at Coastal Carolina, you know, he wanted to take Hooters public. And, you know, he said, why don't I sell you a small stake? You can represent you and me as owners, help me put the deal together. And we did, and 4 months into the process, unfortunately, passed away. And through that and the opportunity he had put in the will that, you know, if something ever happened to him and the family wanted to sell Hooters, he given me the right of first refusal. That became the foundation for Chanticleer Holdings today as a publicly traded, you know, holding company in the restaurant sector, which started out again as a small stake in the parent company of Hooters, which we maintain today. And I sit on the board of the parent company with our private equity partners. And initially, we started opening an international Hooters location as a franchisee to help the company grow. And from there, it's taken to a whole new level.
You know, I asked you to come on the show because I'm really fascinated about your model here. One of the subsidiaries that you own is the American Burger Company, and that's in North Carolina. Tell me about the growth of that, and where do we go from here?
Well, like Buffett, you know, Buffett has always said, you know, his first point of analysis, you know, obviously is the numbers, but the second point is, you know, good people. And so if you have the opportunity to align yourself with good people that you like, trust, and admire, and the numbers make sense, you basically, that, you know, is the foundation for a great investment. We had that. We were presented with the opportunity to acquire American Burger about 4 years ago here in Charlotte from a family office. And with that, there was a gentleman that was one of the key drivers that helped build Bojangles over the years, which was another Charlotte-based concept.
Absolutely.
That, yeah, made money twice in two private equity transactions that also today is public. Well, Rich Adams, who was a key driver in that business, you know, he wanted an opportunity to run a business, and he really was attracted to the burger segment because he spent over 20 years at Carl Jr.'s. And so with the acquisition of American Burger, he left his big corporate position at Bojangles to basically come run a five-store burger concept at the time, but with the intention of building a burger business. And so we made a decision that rather than trying to build a brand nationally, one brand, we thought there was a tremendous opportunity, as we saw in American Burger, to buy regional concepts with great unit level economics, a very loyal following, part of the community, and where we could buy them an attractive multiple, and from the customer's perspective, not change anything, but behind the scenes, you know, take buying power, insurance, everything that we could to help make the business more profitable. So we raised money twice. A lot of my friends and family, the families that I represented, participated in those offerings, and we acquired BGR, the burger joint up in D.C., which has won Best Burger in D.C. a number of years from multiple publications. And then the one we're really excited about with tremendous unit level economics was Little Big Burger up in Portland, Oregon. And so now, you know, the burger business represents the biggest component of our sales, and as we go forward, will represent the biggest piece of our growth in terms of sales and profitability.
You know, you just recently released your second quarter. I think you guys did about $10.7 million in revenue. And I want to talk about a little bit about Little Big Burger store level performance. It seems to be outstanding. How does that compare to your peers, and who are your peers?
Well, it's interesting because we look at Habit Burger, H-A-B-T, is probably the most like our business in that it's fast casual, it's burgers. They do slightly bigger unit size, slightly bigger menu by for sure, but you know, nonetheless, probably the closest peer. And they're, by the way, we think they're an amazingly run business. Having said that, you know, their unit level economics in terms of store level EBITDA that they've posted is in that 19% range. Well, Little Big Burger, you know, we're proud to say over the last, you know, 12 months has been in the mid 20s.
Wow.
And so, I mean, so obviously that's a significant, performance. And the good news is, you know, we've opened three new locations in this year, and a fourth one's about to open, the first one being in Charlotte. And the performance of those three stores have actually exceeded in these early days of, you know, being open, you know, our budgeted, you know, forecast. So that brand, you know, has allowed us, in fact, our two biggest shareholders, the family offices, why they recapped the balance sheet, which was great. What they also did is one signed a deal to open eight Little Big Burgers in the San Diego market as a franchisee partner, which is a $2.5 million commitment. And the other gave us a $2.5 million commitment to open 10 Little Big Burgers as a joint venture with us managing and operating them for his behalf. So, you know, not only did they recap our balance sheet, they're significant equity holders, both are filers. They also are putting up additional capital to help the business grow in a non-dilutive way.
You know, I noticed that you guys have maintained your guidance on the 8 and 10 new stores that you have in 2017. And I guess you could open up by 110 by 2020, which is very impressive growth. What do you think reflects in your share price, and how do we get there? I mean, to me, your share price at $2.35, you know, that's not really the thing that I'm talking about, but the market cap of $5.88 million, it seems like you guys are grossly undervalued.
Well, you're not going to get any argument from me, Everett. I've been a steady buyer of the stock over the last, couple of years, you know, including going back to the beginning. You know, I own a, you know, have a significant investment, as do my friends and the families that I've managed money for over the years. But, you know, look, you know, I'm also recognized what's made, you know, obviously there's a number of things that have made Warren Buffett, you know, one of the richest people in the world. But I would think the number one thing is he found discrepancies of what value was in a stock versus what the market at the time, you know, was trading at.
Absolutely.
And he's done really very well, obviously, as one of the richest people in the world and now one of the biggest philanthropists in finding those things. You know, look, rising tides does lift all boats. You know, our category, you know, whereas 3 years ago was very in favor, you know, in 2015, we had a number of IPOs in the sector. Those IPOs out of the gate performed amazingly well. We caught the tailwind of that, there's no doubt. And, you know, our stock performed very well. We raised capital into that. We made some acquisitions that have obviously, in the case of Little Big Burger, performed unbelievably. But here we are today, the stock is basically, we were at $3 or the equivalent, you know, what would be $30 today compared to the stock price of, you know, $2.35 that you mentioned. And yet the performance of the business, as I can, you know, as anybody would research, the EBITDA, which is how the restaurant industry is measured by, has went straight up over that period of time. And yet the performance of the stock has went straight down. And so, but in fairness, so has Shaq, so has Habit, so has Good Times. we just happen to be, you know, the smallest, you know, player in the category. We really only have one analyst coverage, which, you know, has been very supportive and still maintains on the short run $4 a share, which, you know, he thinks, you know, is the short run. He thinks it's worth a lot more than that. And we don't really have, you know, much in the way of institutions. You know, our shareholder base is really made up of some high net worth family office, you know, type people, not necessarily a big institutional base. So, look, it's my job. You know, I've got not only a big personal investment, but friends and family, you know, is to keep telling the story, keep executing, keep providing guidance and hitting that guidance. You know, as one of my, you know, the guy at Under Armour, who I'm a Baltimore boy by, you know, birth, so I followed him. You know, he said one day when they went public, which I thought was very interesting, and he goes, you know, I don't get rewarded for perfection. There is no such thing. Eventually, we should get rewarded for progress. And I think it's hard to argue that this, you know, company and Chanticleer and our brands have not made tremendous progress over the last 3 years, and we have a clear path going forward to continue that progress.
Our guest today has been Mike Pruitt. Ticker symbol is HOTR. Chanticleer is the name of the company. Their float is only around 2.159 million shares. Market cap at very undervalued at 5.8 million. In closing, Mike, is there anything that you would like to get out to my listeners that maybe we didn't get a chance to touch upon?
Well, obviously, if you're in the D.C., Charlotte, or Portland market, please feel fine. Go check out our restaurants. I think you'll agree with what the public has said, that it's a great product, and hopefully you'll take that opportunity to own part of it. You know, one of the things I can say is you can call me anytime, email me, both are on the website. I return every phone call, I return every email. You know, I have a tremendous vested interest personally, and I take seriously when people choose to invest their money in our equity, in our company, and I welcome your listeners and hope that, you know, out of this, we'll find some new share owners of Chanticleer.
Absolutely. Again, I hope that you'll come back on the show in 60 days from now and give us an update.
I look forward to it. And again, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.